7 a.m. on Monday, July 8th at 2024, and I'm calling this meeting to order. This meeting is open to the public. We will take time at the end of the meeting for a brief public comment period. Participants will have no more than 3 minutes to address the board. As a reminder, board members are not to engage in conversation during public comments. As a courtesy, I ask all participants to keep participants keep themselves on mute to reduce background noise. When a board member would like to make a comment on a topic, please use the raise hand feature in Teams. Once I've called on you, unmute yourself and state your name before sharing your comments. Please remember to mute yourself again after you finish speaking. Thank you. And Ms. Schaefer, can you, program specialist Sandra Schaefer will now call roll call confirming board member attendance. Once she's called your name, please respond by stating here or present.
Thank you, Vice Chair Garcia. And Chair True has an excused absence today, so I will start with you, Vice Chair Garcia.
Here.
Thank you. Board Member Cooper Deaton?
Present.
Thank you. Board Member Hildebrand?
Present.
Thank you. Board Member Martin?
Here.
Thank you. Board Member Thomas? And Board Member Williams?
Here.
Thank you. And yeah, it does look like we still don't have a quorum, but, never mind. 1 second. Good timing. Is that Board Member Thomas?
Yes.
Oh, perfect. We were just calling you for roll. welcome aboard. All right, back to you, Vice Chair Garcia.
So our next agenda item is approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve today's agenda as presented?
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
Thank you, Ms. Martin. Is there a second?
I second.
Thank you. Is there any discussion on this topic? Since there's no discussion, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say nay. Are there any abstentions? The motion has been approved. And we can move forward next to approval of the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the April 8th minutes as presented?
I make a motion to approve April 8th minutes as presented.
Thank you. And a second?
I second.
Thank you. Is there any discussion on this topic? Since there's no discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Nay.
Aye.
Thank you. And are there any abstentions? The minutes have been approved.
Excuse me. Before we move forward, I'd like to remind the board members to state your name when you before you speak so that we can properly capture the notes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we have Mrs. Bauer to help introduce a new board member. On behalf of the board, I would like to welcome Jin Meese S. Williams, Program Specialist Sandy Bauer, will speak on behalf of the Department of Licensing.
Thank you. We are very excited to welcome Jin Mee Williams to the board. She has a vast amount of experience and a wealth of knowledge, and we really feel that she will bring a lot of expertise to the board. I would like to turn the time over to Board Member Williams to introduce herself.
Good morning. My name is Jimmy Williams. I'm super excited to be on the board. I'm deeply honored and grateful to be a part of the board, and I still look forward to better engaging with our community through the support of the board and, of course, education through the Washington State Board of Cosmetology. So thank you very much for having me.
Thank you and welcome. Our next item is old business, and we are going to review the instructor license and endorsements. Please mute yourself if you can.
This is a personal question, not that I'm going to modify.
Instructor license and endorsements. Ms. Bauer, will you provide information on this topic?
Yes, I'd be happy to. So this is just a summary of what we have covered in our last board meeting, in addition to some of the information that has been covered in the various subcommittee meetings. So I just wanted to get this summary out there. So one question that had come up was, do instructors need to keep their professional licenses active? And in Washington State, an instructor can operate commercially without a professional license in a profession in which they do have an active instructor license. Instructors are not required to have an active professional license in addition to their instructor license. An instructor license can be renewed without renewing the professional license. However, if an instructor license canceled and there isn't an active professional license, the instructor will be required to reinstate their professional license before the instructor license can be reinstated. If an endorsement shows expired after your instructor license is renewed, this is a glitch in our system. So please send an email to dolcosmo@dol.wa.gov. We can place the endorsement back into the active status. There's also a phone number listed on the screen for you to call, area code 360-664-6626. So if you have any issues with that, please contact us and we can put those endorsements back in the active status. When other states contact us for reciprocity purposes, we send a letter that verifies the licensee's status as an instructor. We also tell that state that here in Washington, instructors are authorized to operate commercially within the scope of their instructor license. It is then up to the state requesting that reciprocity verification as to whether that is sufficient for true reciprocity. And with that, I am happy to answer any questions.
Can I just recap really quick? So just so everybody's super clear, as an instructor, if we don't renew our professional licenses or endorsements, and license and endorsement mean the same thing, if we don't renew them, the ability to work in that area is active under our instructor license. If we should let our instructor license expire, then those endorsements have expired as well, and they will need to be replaced, re-earned, if we still want them, or if we as an instructor need those endorsements for our employment. So it's very critical that you do not let your instructor license expire if you have already let your other licenses expire, because you will be out of luck. I mean, you're going to be in a big problem. But as long as you keep that instructor license active, your other licenses are active as well. And when we go to another state, hopefully it will look to that state like we have all those licenses, which is the truth, under our instructor license. So that should give us that portability. Just for clarification.
Exactly.
Because I know we've had a lot of confusion on this.
Yes, thank you for that clarity.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Back to you.
Next, under new business, is the Barber 1 exam update. And DOL staff will provide a summarization of updates to Barber 1 exam effective on September 3rd, 2024. Ms. Bauer will provide the information on this topic.
Thank you very much. It is my pleasure to introduce Program Manager Sandra Gonzalez. She's going to be able to give a little bit more information on this update. Ms. Gonzalez.
Sandra, you're muted.
Whoops. Thank you, Sandy. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today to let you know of some upcoming changes to the Barber 1 theory exam and practical exam. We did send out notice to all of the schools and posted it on our listserv and posted the information on our website. Those changes will become, as you said, September 3rd, 2024. We did also in those notices provide a summary of what those changes are. So who does that impact? It impacts any applicants that are going to be taking the exam. So the old exams will no longer be available on September 3rd. So they'll need to be familiar with the new or updated changes to those exams. If you didn't receive any of those notices or you'd like a summary, you can email us at csap@dol.law.gov. If you have any questions or you maybe missed the notice, we are going to be sending out another notice as a follow-up to remind folks of those changes. But that's all I have.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We have a question, Shauna.
Hi, yeah, I was just looking at the outline where it talks about the current exam versus the new exam for the 1.1 section.
Okay.
And if we could just get some clarity for the public on the language for EPA registered hospital grade disinfectant versus English as EPA registered disinfectant that is bactericide, viricide, and fungicide.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that a lot of times it's assumed that hospital grade demonstrates those things. So is it then required that it is listed, that verbiage is listed on the product? So I just wanted clarification for that.
So the new exam instructions are going to say disinfects all work areas completely with product labeled with manufacturer's label. In English, as EPA registered disinfectant, that is bactericidal, viricidal, and fungicidal. So it will have to be labeled in English. And
that is new updated language in the textbooks. It no longer says hospital grade, and it specifically refers to hospital grade as not being an actual label. And that hospital grade is bactericidal, viricidal, fungicidal. So it's just a little change in the language, but definitely confusing for some.
Sure. So does it then need to say also bactericidal, viricidal, fungicidal, or just?
That's a great question, Shauna. I can definitely ask that question and follow up back up on that.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. I'll need to reach out to our exam vendor and NIC. Make sure.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? I don't see any. Again, if you need any information, you can reach out to Sandy and team, and they can help clarify that, or also probably reach out to DL Root for some clarification. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up under new business is license reciprocity, and Ms. Power and Jason Lynn will speak about this. DOL staff will provide an update on license reciprocity for industry professionals moving to Washington State. DOL military and military spouse liaison Jason Lynn and Ms. Power will provide information on this topic.
Thank you, Vice Chair Garcia. Last year, we introduced program specialist Jason Lynn as our military and military spouse liaison. We wanted to invite him to this meeting to let him brief you all on all the great work that he's been doing. And at this time, I'd like to turn it over to program specialist Lynn.
Thank you, Sandy, and thank you, everyone, for having me to come back and provide this update. Last year, when I came on, we were talking a lot about reducing the time to license. So we were expediting licensure for military and military spouses. More recently, we've been working and implementing the process for granting licensure for military spouses and members who are moving to Washington on military orders. So when they come from another jurisdiction and they have an active license that they have been practicing with in another jurisdiction, we are by law required to recognize that license is valid. So we are now going through the process of making sure that we have everything to verify that they meet all the eligibility requirements under the federal law, and that we are in compliance with that law by granting them a license to use that license in their profession here in Washington. And of course, cosmetology is one of the leading industries for the military community here in Washington. And so this is something that certainly is going to be useful for that that community when they come here and they have a cosmetology or barber license within this industry. So if you have any questions, feel free to just reach out to me. You can reach me through Sandy or Sandra or our DOL outreach box. I check that frequently, or just jason.lynn@dol.wa.gov. And with that, if you don't have any further questions, that concludes my, my presentation. Thank you.
Any questions? Seeing none, we're going to go ahead and move on to Substitute House Bill 1047, Cosmetic Products, Toxic Chemicals. And I'm going to present a little overview of 1047. And I was kind of surprised by this, and I probably wasn't paying enough attention. But what I've understood is the EPA is required every 5 years to examine certain toxic chemicals, and they provide a list of what those chemicals are. And those are PFAs, ortho phthalates, which is in a lot of our fragrances that could be in any of the products that we use, as well as perfumes and that sort of thing, flame retardant products, and phenolic compounds. And we've used phenolic compounds as a disinfectant in our industry for years. And we use it a lot of times on metals to prevent rusting. So it does affect us. Some of the other ingredients that have been looked at this year and beginning January of 2025, there will be restrictions on phthalates, PFAs, which I think all of us are hearing about that, especially I know here in Spokane because of our river. Formaldehyde and chemicals determined by ecology to release formaldehyde. And we have formaldehyde byproducts that come from some of our chemicals that we use in the salon. One that has received a lot of notice is keratin straightening treatments. Another is methylene glycol, which is sort of it becomes formaldehyde when it's heated to a certain temperature. Mercury and mercury compounds, triclosan, which we all have used over the years as an antibacterial product. It's been manufactured into a lot of our tools and children's toys and all kinds of things. M-phenylene diamine and its salts, and O-phenylene diamine and its salts. And that made my eyes get big because that's hair color. And, you know, for most of us in this industry as cosmetologists, hair color is big business. And I think we've seen this coming, and we definitely need to see some changes. And I kind of got into panic mode when I was reading through this, but then I recognized that you have until January 1st of 2026 to exhaust your current stock. So nobody's going to tell us instantly that we have to quit using these products. We can continue to use up the stock that we have. The EPA is expected by May of 2024 to be able to provide us with lists and support to find better products, safer products. They're also required to help support transition to safer products for small businesses, because we can see how this could really impact a small salon. We've got a lot of money sitting on our shelves in these products, so we need some support for that. Rulemaking will happen in the future, and if you're interested in rulemaking, I'm sure that you can contact the EPA and find out when that'll be. And maybe DOL can let us know. I don't know if that's something that would be possible when that rulemaking is happening. One of the big concerns is a lot of these products are marketed to women of color, straightening hair products, things like that, and they're predominantly being affected and hurt by this. So the EPA is trying to make this move to help protect consumers. And in the past, consumers have borne the cost rather than the producers. And the EPA is making an effort to expect producers to take on this cost and protect consumers. And one of the comments that was made against removing formaldehyde is that formaldehyde is used in a lot of chemicals, a lot of our cosmetics, to prevent contamination from biological contaminants. And an example of that might be if you're using a face cream and you use your fingers instead of using a spatula to remove it, you're actually depositing some biological contaminants. And most chemical or cosmetics has some ingredients that protect them from growing bacteria because of that contamination. Formaldehyde has been used in that as a protection in that way. So there was concern that if we removed the formaldehyde from some cosmetics, we might actually be putting the consumer at increased risk of bacterial contamination. So definitely more research needs to be done in that area. It's important to recognize that this includes both cosmetics and body products, lotions, cleansers, all those kinds of things. It's not just cosmetics. And made myself so many notes here. I think that kind of wraps it up. If anyone has questions, I'm happy to answer as well as I can. I really don't have a lot of information on this right now. And I would recommend that you print out the full law and read it, because it will help you understand the impact. And I see one hand up.
That is a member of the public.
Okay.
So if you want to take comments, that would be in lieu of their public comment.
Okay.
During the public comment.
So Darcy, can we wait and get your comment at the end of the meeting during public comments? Thank you.
There is also a hand up. Emmett Henley also has their hand up.
Okay. And is Emmett a member of the public?
Yes.
So Emmett, if you can wait until the end of the meeting, when we have public input, you can make your comments then. Thank you. Next, are there any other comments from board members? Next up is the National Interstate Council of State Boards of Cosmetology Incorporated, or NIC, 69th Annual Conference. The board will determine who will attend the conference scheduled to take place in Salt Lake City, Utah, from October 11th to 14th, 2024. Ms. Bauer will provide information on this topic.
Thank you very much, Vice Chair Garcia. At this annual conference, Brandon Kelly is scheduled to be the keynote speaker. There's also a wide variety of agenda topics to include lasers, lights, and energy waves, the new aesthetics. Also, there'll be some updates from NACCAS, and also there'll be some topics concerning license mobility initiatives. We would like for the board to designate one member to attend this conference and then do a report out following the conference. I now turn it back over to you, Vice Chair Garcia, to open the floor for nominations.
Thank you. I would like to open the floor for nominations. And I see Ms. Martin has her hand up.
Thank you, Board Member Garcia. Board Member Martin, and I would like to actually nominate Sylvia Garcia to attend this meeting because I feel like she would represent the board very well and report back precisely what needs to happen.
Thank you. Are there any other nominees? Is there a second to this nomination?
This is Erica Cooper Deaton, and I second.
Thank you, Erica. Is there any discussion on this topic?
No, well, sort of.
Sort of.
I just wanted to say it looks very interesting. The subjects that are going to be discussed, and I just really can't wait to hear about it.
I was able to attend last year, and it was a very eye-opening experience. I didn't know all that NIC does for our industry and for how it brings all the states together and helps us communicate. There are breakout sessions that allow board members from different states to share information, and a lot of good information came out of that in the fact that we recognize that some states are ahead of other states, and some states are trying to get law in place that other states have already created it, so you don't have to, you know, invent the wheel. And it was an enlightening experience. I would enjoy going a second time because I think you are just sort of learning what's going on the first time, and you could be more productive the second time. All in favor? We can call for a vote now. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. Any abstentions? And it looks like the nomination is approved. Thank you very much. Next is in-person meeting information. The staff will provide the board with an update to the 2024 in-person meeting. And I just want to add, before Ms. Bauer takes over, it's really nice and helpful for us to actually be in a room and have conversation and get to know each other. But we cannot do this without a quorum. So we need people to plan ahead and try to make arrangements so this can work. And with that, Ms. Bauer, I will let you take over.
Thank you very much, Vice Chair Garcia. We did not have a quorum that committed to attending today's meeting in person. So we would like to offer one more opportunity before the weather gets to the point where we can't cross the pass and travel is going to be too difficult. We would like to propose an alternate date of October 7th, 2024 to be an in-person meeting. As a reminder to the board members, please respond to the survey. There is the information in the packet no later than July 19th to indicate whether or not you would like to attend the October meeting virtually or in person. We do need time to plan for travel. We need also to schedule and reserve a meeting space, etc. So with that, I'm excited to have the possible in-person meeting October 7th. And with that, are there any questions? Okay, thank you very much.
And I'd just like to add that your travel arrangements and things like that, if you need them, are taken care of by DOL very quickly and easily, and they take great care of you. So don't worry about making those arrangements and things like that. And certainly if you can't make it, we understand that. And you could attend virtually, but if we don't have a quorum for the in-person meeting, we won't be able to have that meeting. So next is reports. Report outs and or data will be shared on the following topics. First, we'll have subcommittee reports. Each subcommittee will provide a report out on the progress they've made since the last board meeting. The business practices subcommittee, this committee has not met since the last board meeting. We volunteered our meeting time to the education subcommittee meeting, so it could no longer be very constructive. It could go longer, as constructive conversation was being held. And then next is the education subcommittee, and board member Martin will provide a summary of the subcommittee's progress since the last meeting.
Thank you, Ms. Garcia. So board member Martin, and I'm going to do a little report out on what we've been meeting about before we get started. Just want to let the public know that if they want the meeting materials, they can always request a copy by emailing dolboards@dol.wa.gov to get it in its entirety. If you need links and details. First, let's talk about Prometric and DL Roop. We discussed licensure and testing. The subcommittee met with DOL Program Manager Sandra Gonzalez and Professional Licensing Representative Jamie Van Sickle to discuss concerns with licensure testing. Number of concerns that the subcommittee voiced had not been communicated with the licensing team. Ms. Bauer advised the subcommittee members to document any current and future issues, like included a date, time details on the issue, and how you have tried to contact Prometric. So if you tried to contact them and you got nowhere, then they need to know how did you, attempt to get into contact. Email those details to staff@dolboards@dol.wa.gov, and staff will follow up with the Prometric company. Ms. Bauer and Ms. Gonzalez provided customer service support contact information. And the information is as follows. So Prometric customer service email is wasupport@prometric.com. Their phone number is 888-375-2020. And it is, we just want to make a note to all people that are potentially testing that it is best for candidates to contact Prometric customer service directly rather than contacting the trainers or other board members to contact on their behalf. So it's better to be your own advocate, reach out to these, this agency, these numbers, these contact details to get to the bottom of your situation. DOL customer service, which is abbreviated CST for customer support team. So they want us to let you guys know that there's a team that's ready to help all of your concerns. Information about the business and professional licensing contact information page is located on the dol.wa.gov about contact -us/ business and professional licensing contact -information. You can contact the customer support team either by phone or by email. And what are they here to help us with? Quite a bit. Quite a bit. So if you found yourself, if these things resonate with you, I can't access my SAW account. I can't find the service to access my portal or the homepage. I forgot my username and my password. I can't figure out how to pay for my license. My payment didn't go through. I couldn't find the option to print my license or know how to print it. I can't see the renew button. I tried to update my information and didn't see the update on the license. So like if you tried to update your license, then when you went to see it, it didn't exist. Where is it? You would contact the customer support team. You're unable to link your business license to your account, which kind of can be tricky. They can also help with that. If you log in and your account says that it's been deactivated, or if you just can't access links pertaining to SAW or related links and resources, this customer service team can also help you find your way. For all other business and professional licensing questions, find your license type on the business and professional licensing contact information page or on the list of Washington licenses located at, wa.gov/work/professional-licenses. Next, we talked about apprentice salons and shop data. Or salon shop data, sorry. We're not shopping for data. My apologies. The following data was provided by the Labor and Industries Apprenticeship Program. And this is the most accurate information that they could generate as the program is ongoing. For example, an apprentice might have started in 2020 and still be active in the program years later. As you can see, like between the years 2022, 2023, the numbers fluctuated, but as of April 2024, there's 131 active apprentices in the state of Washington, which is, I think, kind of impressive. Yeah. Okay, so 40 apprentices completed. Let's see, in 2022, 40 apprentices completed the cosmetology-related programs. In 2022, 59 apprentices were canceled from cosmetology-related programs. In 2023, 29 apprentices completed the cosmetology-related programs. And in 2023, 38 apprentices were canceled from cosmetology-related programs. So I think it's still like a pretty good success rate. Last but not least, we've got flexibility to testing costs we want to talk about. So during the public comments portion of the last meeting, it was asked whether there would be testing cost flexibility for licensees with canceled practitioner licenses, and Chair True requested this topic be reported by the Education Subcommittee. The staff researched the subject and found that these costs are determined by Prometric, and DOL has no contractual authority to request or demand any change to test proctoring costs. As such, DOL and board do not have the ability to reduce these costs or address it. So then there's that. And I believe that concludes the subcommittee report out.
Thank you, Ms. Martin. That was very good.
Thanks.
One thing I want to bring up is understanding what apprenticeship is. In our industry, we have trainees that are licensed who come into our salon. And some of us in the past have called those folks apprentices. That is not technically correct. They might be an associate, but an apprentice is a person who gets trained for their complete training through a salon. And that salon has to work with both Department of Labor and Department of Licensing in order to have an apprentice. And there's so much confusion on that in our industry because of the language that we use. I just like to bring that up anytime we're talking about apprenticeship so folks aren't confused. So these 140 that graduated in 2022 and 23 that completed in 29 that completed in 2023, they actually started training in a salon. I believe the hours are 3,000 hours for cosmetology. So they spent 3,000 hours in the salon actually working and being paid while they went through this apprentice program. So it is an investment for the salon, and salons would certainly like apprentices to stay with them for some time. But I think that's one of the difficulties is you could train someone and they could choose to go elsewhere once you had trained them. So moving on to our next topic is Central Investigations and Audit Unit, the CIAU. Regulatory compliance and UCC and firearms, which is kind of scary to say all in the same sentence. We're going to get the complaint case count reports from J.D. Nichols. DOL's Central Investigations and Audit Unit Investigation Supervisor, J.D. Smith, will provide a summary of the data presented on your screen. And maybe I have a mix-up on the person's name, J.D. Nichols or J.D. Smith. I'm not sure.
That was my error. It's J.D. Smith.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning, members of the board. My name is J.D. Smith. I am the investigation supervisor with the Centralized Investigations and Audit Unit here at DOL. My team investigates 9 separate professions within CIAU, and cosmetology is being one of them. As of June 12th, 2024, January to June 12th, we had a total of 232 complaints that had come in. The top complaints are unlicensed activity, safety and sanitation, injuries, cosmetology schools, and inspections. And some of the top findings after the investigation for unlicensed activity, we found that there was lack of understanding the nature of each license. For safety and sanitation, lack of proper infection control. And injuries, that's pretty self-explanatory. Somebody said they got injured. For the cosmetology schools, we had the allegations of failure of staff reporting proper hours and allegations of improper teacher-to-student ratio. The inspections that were associated with an investigation, a request for an inspection was happened again due to lack of cleanliness of the salon. Some of the most common remedies taken to address those above complaints, we have increased investigations on site, which may include on-site inspection. Any failed inspection received gets a reinspection within 30 days, and also technical assistance and education to licensees is always provided. And that's all I have as far as the investigation and complaint section.
Thank you. Mr. Smith, can you tell us how someone makes a complaint?
Sure. There's several ways. They can either mail it in. They can go, they can do it online via the portal, the DOL portal. And if you go to the DOL website, www.dol.wa.gov, if you look on the top bar, it says business or professional licenses. You can go in there and you can pick all of our licenses. You can type in cosmetology. There's a little search engine, and then it says file a complaint. So there's, if you just go to the DOL website, how to file a complaint, that information is on there. So you can do it via the portal, you can mail it in, or you can email it in as well.
Can a person make an anonymous complaint?
Absolutely. We get those all the time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think that's helpful. Does anyone else have any questions on the board? Or Mr. Smith? No? Next, we have on our agenda complaint statistics. Mr. Smith and regulatory compliance UCCM Firearms Legal Services Manager Kimberly Shabloom will provide a summary of the data presented on your screen.
Hi, good morning, members of the board. I'm going to step in here and help present this data. My name is Evelyn Manley Rodriguez. I'm the investigation supervisor with Centralized Investigations and Audits Unit. And so what we're looking at here is of June 12, 2024, our inspections teams have completed 681 inspections. From these inspections, the most common violations that we've identified so far is unlicensed activity, similar to what JD mentioned earlier, safety and sanitation, and these are the routine inspections. So what we're identifying under safety and sanitation is, not having our licensees not having foot spa records available or missing data or not having current data, maybe having some records documented, but not having them up to current. The other areas that we've identified when inspecting schools is under safety and sanitation, as well as uncovered or debris left on the treatment table, unlabeled bottles, and unclean or debris left in shampoo bowls. And the other area that we've identified during these routine inspections is student records, the monthly student records not being signed by an instructor. Maybe they are signed at some point, but during the inspections, that's what we've identified. And that's what I have for inspection data.
Thank you. It's nice to see the inspectors back in the salons.
Yeah. Good to hear. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone have any questions? Next is licensee and customer support services, LCSS, and this will be presented by Ms. Bauer.
Thank you very much, Vice Chair Garcia. Here is a brief overview of our active licensees as of June 10th, 2024. As you can see, we've broken out the license types by each of the categories within cosmetology. We do have a grand total of 83,360 licenses. So we also have a comparison from June of 2023, so last year, we had a grand total of 78,740. So on the whole, active licensees has increased over the last year. Next slide, please. Here we have a quick snapshot of the new issues versus renewals of licenses. As of June 10th, 2024, and as you can see, the renewals are increasing and our new issues have remained relatively steady. Next slide, please. And here we have the same basic graph, presenting licensee data from 2020 to present. So as you can see, The COVID really took a hit on the cosmetology industry. But as you can see, our numbers are starting to recover. They're starting to increase again. Next slide, please. And that concludes the licensee counts. Are there any questions? All right. Thank you very much. Now I'd like to turn it over to Program Specialist Sandra Schaefer to review the master action item list.
Thank you, Sandy. And actually, this first item we sort of covered. We have one new member to the board, which we introduced earlier. We are still in progress for filling the other three positions. We've done a couple of interviews, and we're still working on those. As far as establishing a new program for ethnic hair services, this is something that Sandy and I looked into. It's been on the agenda, and I think it was pushed forward to this meeting. But in the interim, we looked into it and determined that it's not within the board's jurisdiction to add a new program. So it's something that we can't pursue. As far as providing details on reciprocity, that was on the agenda this meeting, so that will be taken off of the action item list. Inviting legal compliance team to the next board meeting. Sandy, I'm going to actually have you report out on that piece.
Yeah, as we are really excited, we can remove this agenda, this action item as well. Going forward, the complaint and legal compliance data that we shared today will be going forward in each of our meetings. And we're just so excited to be able to present this data in a different way. So if you found that this presentation was useful, please just let us know and we will keep going. We'll keep going presenting it that way.
Friday 8:30 to 4:30,
and then Saturday 7:45 to 6. And if you are not on mute, please mute yourself.
I already have it on either. Perfect.
Should I email this to her?
Yeah. Okay. CC me on it.
Okay.
Thank you, Sandy. And the last two items we reported out on during this meeting, and they will be removed from the action item list.
Thank you, Sandra.
Can I add really quickly under establishing a new program for ethnic hair services? That is something that needs to be done legislatively. And it isn't that it can't be done. It just isn't under the board's jurisdiction. So exactly. I just wanted to clarify that if someone feels strongly about that and wants to bring it forward, they can certainly bring a bill forward to legislation and work on that.
Yeah, thank you for that clarification. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you very much for that.
And it's important. We just
keep yes, thank you. Yeah. Next is our board commissions and outreach. And we already did that. Last but not least is our public comments. So those of us who had comments to make about the previous bill that we discussed or anything else, please do that for us. We're opening the floor to the public to address the board and share their thoughts, concerns, and requests. Written comments may be submitted at least 2 days prior to meetings by emailing dolboards@dol.wa.gov. Members of the public, while you are addressing the board, please remember each member of the public is limited to 3 minutes. To one 3-minute comment, comments submitted in writing count as your 3 minutes. Comments must be regarding matters within the board's jurisdiction. Board members are limited to directing staff to study the matter further or requesting the matter be scheduled for later discussion. Sandy or Ms. Bauer, were there any written comments submitted?
Yes, we have one written comment from public member Tracy K. As a licensed cosmetologist, I would like to bring up the option to modify the late fee for renewing licenses. I feel that is $65 fee for a late fee, whether it's one day or more, is exorbitant and basically outrageous. I cannot attend the meeting, but I would like for this to be addressed. I would also like to add that because the reminders are no longer sent out, it's very easy to overlook the expiration date. Thank you. And that concludes the written public comments.
Thank you, Ms. Bauer. Are there any public members that have their hands up that would like to speak?
We do have one hand raised. That is Emmett Henley. Please go ahead and come off mute and let us know what you're thinking.
Hi, my name is Emmett Henley, and I want to first of all thank the board for hearing me. The matter is concerning the toxic chemical section, and particularly methylene glycol. In our salon in Seattle and Tacoma, we have three locations. We have been doing keratin treatments for quite a long time, about 15 years. When it came to our attention that there was concerns around keratin and methylene glycol, we actually welcomed Washington State OSHA to come in and actually do testing at our salon and with the services. With that, they found that we were well below any formaldehyde levels or action levels for formaldehyde in the air or that our stylists were being exposed to. Also, in most of the service, it was all undetectable. So any levels of any formaldehyde was undetectable. So my concern is by banning this, is this just maybe poor testing or people not doing it correctly? Me, I'm a cosmetology instructor. Our staff is all certified kind of to do keratin treatments. And I know that with keratin treatments, people now, they buy them for home use. Is that the concern? Is it non-professional people who are doing the services or people who haven't been trained or certified doing the services that's been the problem? So that concludes we also have that study that the Washington State OSHA performed, and we have the synopsis posted to our website. I would be happy to share it with anyone to see the results of that. But just my concern is if a professional is doing it and they're doing it correctly, it's a safe service as long as it's done correctly and in the proper environment. And with that, I want to say thank you for hearing me.
Thank you. Ms. Bauer, can we ask Emmett to share that report with the board?
Yes, we can. Would you please email that report to the DOL boards at dol.wa.gov, and we can get it to the board members. Thank you.
Thank you.
Of course.
The second hand we have raised is Darcy Harrison. Please go ahead and come off mute and let us know what you're thinking.
Darcy, you may have your phone muted, or I guess it would be a computer. You're coming off mute in the meeting, but we're still not hearing you.
We still aren't able to hear you. If you would like us to read your comments at the next meeting, feel free to email your comments to dolboards@dol.wa.gov. We want to ensure that everyone has an opportunity to have their voice heard.
And Darcy was involved in the, she was one of the, I don't want to say the wrong thing, but she's listed as a person who was involved in this bill. So it would be great to hear from her, but maybe she's having technical difficulties.
And one recommendation is to leave the meeting and then rejoin. Sometimes that fixes team's issues.
Do we have anyone else while Darcy's making that attempt, perhaps?
All right, they just logged out and just rejoined the meeting. So if Darcy, if you're able to come off mute, feel free to share your comments with us. We still aren't able to hear. Yeah. And I don't see any other hands raised. It looks like they're going to log out and try to log back in one more time, Vice Chair Garcia. They haven't tried to log back into the meeting yet. If we receive written comments from Darcy, we'll go ahead and read them at the next meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on, thank you everyone for sharing. The floor is now closed. Number 10 is conclusion announcements. Do any staff or board members have announcements they'd like to share?
Board Member Martin has her hand up.
Thank you, everyone. So I do have a fun announcement. We are, as the subcommittee is working on building up a what we're calling a listening session. So we want to create a listening session. I've scheduled a meeting room at the Hive in the Spokane Valley, Sunday, September 1st. Between the hours of 1 and 3 p.m. We want to invite all people that are either listening here in the area or out of the area to come that day and join the listening session. When I say listening session, the subcommittee will be doing the listening. We want to get your feedback on, we want to update the language within the law. And before we jump into that, we want to get the feedback from the public and from other licensed colleagues. Maybe you've been looking over the laws. You've been noticing language that you think should be looked at or addressed. And so we want to invite you for the opportunity to voice those things so that we can get it written down and then really start to work on your behalf for the state of Washington. And if it goes well in Spokane, then we can schedule other ones, I think, maybe across the state, kind of get a bigger feedback. But it'll be at the Hive, which is, I think, an extension of the library here in Spokane. And it's a wonderful meeting room. So if you're available, please come down. Please join us. It's for an hour or two, and we'd love to hear from you. That's it.
Thank you. We have a request for future agenda items. Do any board members have topics they would like to request to discuss at a future meeting? Hearing none at this time, we'll move forward, but no, you can always share those with Ms. Bauer and Ms. Schaefer, and they will help get those on the agenda. Review of action items, Ms. Schaefer.
Thank you. I actually did capture one upcoming agenda item as well, and that is that DOL likely next year to provide legislative updates on any future bills related to the topic of toxic chemicals and cosmetic products.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then action items. I have staff will provide clarification on changes to the Barber 1 exam, specifically item 1.1, whether the labels need to specifically say bacterial, virucidal, or fungicidal on it. And then also staff to coordinate Vice Chair Garcia's travel and attendance at the 2024 NIC conference. And then if applicable, staff to coordinate travel for in-person board meeting in October. Are there any items that I missed?
I can't think of anything.
All right. Back to
Thank you. And at this point, we are at the adjournment. It is now 11:12 a.m. on Monday, July 8th, 2024, and this meeting is adjourned. Our next meeting will be on Monday, October 7th, 2024 at 10 a.m. And just a quick reminder to board members, please communicate with DOL and Ms. Bauer and Ms. Schaefer if you plan on attending in person in October by July 19th. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great rest of your day. Thank you for attending this board meeting.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Goodbye. Thank you. Thank you.